So welcome to the first inaugural broadcast of Fantasy Prowlers. I'm Philip Gronstad.
I'm Sam Smith.
And you know what? Let's just jump right into it. So if we want to talk about fantasy sleepers and busts, that's always a big one come draft time. So let's start with the NFC West. A lot of hype around that division. Let's just talk about who we see could be busts and sleepers. And
well, when you're talking sleepers, I think you got to go with Larry Fitzgerald first off. Even though he's been a big name, he's been drafted highly the last few years, but his production really hasn't been there. I think with that offense run by Bruce Arians and Carson Palmer at quarterback, his numbers are going to be back to where they were when they were contenders. Another guy that I think you should look at was just picked up today, early Doucette for Seattle. With Percy Harvin likely to miss games up until at least Thanksgiving, I think there's a good chance that he's going to produce for them this year.
Do you like Golden Tate this year?
I like Golden Tate. I think the depth chart might get in the way, but I think that he could produce for them.
I mean, I don't think the depth chart's going to be in the way. He's more of a slot guy, short. I just don't see Sidney Rice really getting in the way, even if he is healthy. Percy Harvin, though, when he ever gets back, he will kind of take Golden Tate's role there.
Yeah, Harvin's going to be a difference maker whenever he gets back.
Yeah, but right now, draft-wise, Harvin, he's... If you're drafting him, you're locking him up for your playoff run. He's not going to be a factor during your regular season. So that's the Seahawks.
Let's go to San Francisco. I think one potential bust here could be Frank Gore. He had a big year last year, but he's getting old. They have both LaMichael James and Marcus Lattimore in that backfield, and I think his carries could be way down this year.
Brandon Jacobs, too, again, isn't he?
Yeah, he'll be stealing goal line carries from him. I wouldn't draft Frank Gore as highly as he's ranked.
Still good, and it seems every year you go against him, he's still there. But this year I feel like could finally be the year where he just doesn't show up quite like he usually does.
Agreed.
And then sleepers on that team?
Sleepers? I think Colin Kaepernick could be a little bit of a sleeper. In ESPN standard leagues, he's going fifth or sixth round. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up as a top three fantasy quarterback this year.
Top three?
He produced all through last year, led him to the playoffs. Got good receivers around him, especially with the addition of Anquan Boldin out there.
Top three, though? You think he puts up what he did against Green Bay in the playoffs?
I think he could. I mean, you got the obvious ones, Rodgers and Breeze. And Peyton's always going to put up a big year, but I could see Kaepernick being right there with him.
So if you had to make tiers of quarterbacks...
I mean, I think Kaepernick, if he has a good year, could be top three, but I wouldn't put him in the top tier. I think Rodgers is far and away number one. Also in that top tier, I would put Breeze and Manning. Just below them, I'd put Newton and Brady.
So you think Newton and Brady are terribly wrong?
I think so. I mean, Tom Brady has been productive, obviously. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. But going into camp this year, his top seven receivers were either injured or on a different team or in jail. And that's going to be an issue for him. Newton I like, but injuries are always a factor when you talk about a running quarterback. What do you think?
He has a receiver in jail. I haven't heard anything about this. Who's this Hernandez guy?
Oh, yeah, right.
Well, I would put Manning out of the tier of Breeze and Rodgers, put him in the tier with Brady Newton. Just because there's a chance. Yeah, at the end of last year, you saw that he was wearing down. And that's just going to be even more this year as he gets older. But still productive, has Welker this year. A lot of hype around the Denver team. And I think a better run game this year than last year.
I'd agree completely. I think even if he's wearing down, the fact that he has three receivers that are elite, I'd say, at least in the top 15 to 20 in the league, between Demaryius Thomas, breakout star last year, Wes Welker, one of the most accomplished receivers in the league, and Eric Decker, who quietly put up about 1,200 yards and 10 touchdowns last year. On top of that, I think Monty Ball could be a difference maker for them.
Ronnie Hillman, thoughts on him?
I think he's good. I think he could give Monty Ball a run for some carries. He's more of a third down sort of back, though. I think Monty Ball is going to be the bell cow here. Ronnie Hillman is kind of a complimentary guy. Yeah.
So then after the tier of Newton Breeze, or Brady, that we both agree on, you would say Kaepernick's right there?
I think Kaepernick is right there. He's the top of that tier. I'd also put Matt Ryan right there. He's kind of a fantasy sleeper to me. You don't talk about him as one of the elite quarterbacks because he hasn't done a lot in the postseason. But as far as putting up fantasy numbers, I think he could be big this year. He's got Tony Gonzalez, the best tight end in the history of the NFL. On top of that, he's got two elite receivers in Julio Jones and Roddy White.
Oh, but last year I thought was just, it was probably as good as Matt Ryan's ever going to get. And what did he end up? He wasn't even top five quarterback-wise fantasy.
I don't know if it's the best he's ever going to get. I think the running game there is going to be much improved this year. Last year, Turner wasn't a difference maker, but this year I think Steven Jackson could put up some big numbers.
Yeah. Well, we were on the NL West, so let's talk about Steven Jackson's former team, the Rams, sleepers and busts there.
I think there could be a lot of difference makers on this team. I think Chris Givens could be a sleeper. I think that when you're looking at Jared Cook from Tennessee, I think that the fact that Sam Bradford, he plays that West Coast-style offense that Jake Locker really didn't. I think I could see Jared Cook being a draftable tight end, especially in a year where there's really not a lot of production at the tight end position. What do you think about that team?
Well, and then the addition of Austin. I see him as a steal later on in the draft.
I completely agree.
Bradford really hasn't had targets to go to in those recent years, and it's also been that offensive line that just hasn't helped at all. One of the most sacked quarterbacks the previous couple of years. So I think with it's an improved offensive line and an improved receiving corps, so I say it goes up, and I'm not sure how much. But
yeah, I think Jake Long makes all the difference there. And yeah, Tavon Austin will have a chance at Rookie of the Year, in my opinion. I think he could be a big-time difference maker. That's a team to watch for in that division. All the hype is around San Francisco and Seattle, but I think St. Louis could make a run.
Yeah, just improved everywhere. I mean, Palmer, too, to the Cardinals, a team that had no quarterback last year, suddenly gets one.
Yeah, Carson Palmer, even though he wasn't very good with Oakland, he's still one of the more accomplished quarterbacks in the league. I look at big second-year things from Michael Floyd. I think that he could really be a difference maker, kind of the same way that Anquan Boldin was when they made their Super Bowl run back in 08. I also think Mendenhall could be a difference maker at running back.
Yeah. What do you think about Boldin in San Francisco?
I love the move. I think Boldin proved that he was one of the top receivers in the league in last year's playoffs. And the fact that Kaepernick's going to have him to work with, I think that he could put up a 1,000-yard season pretty easily.
And I think what's underrated is where Boldin's going. I mean, Kaepernick showed that he does love his wideout. I mean, Crabtree, when Kaepernick became the quarterback last year, suddenly exploded fantasy-wise. Unfortunately, won't have Crabtree here, but Boldin, I think, can put up similar numbers.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, when you look at the 49ers last year, Alex Smith was all about the short passes over the middle. Vernon Davis was a contributor. But once Kaepernick stepped in, everything was vertical outside the numbers, and I think that Boldin fits that offense really well.
Yeah. Speaking of Vernon Davis, in my book, I don't like him this year. Since Kaepernick came in, I think, in standard scoring, he had one double-digit game.
No. Yeah. I think he's just about undraftable as far as where he's rated compared to where he should be. Him and Tony Gonzalez are both going in about the 7th or 8th round. I think Tony Gonzalez is far ahead of Vernon Davis, and I think that there's a lot of other options that you could get late with that value.
Yeah. So we'll move on to our next question. This one's from one of our listeners. Trent Richardson, just how he does this year, if he has a sophomore curse.
I'm worried about the injury. I think that if he stays healthy and he plays all 16 games in that offense, he's going to get too many touches to not be an elite fantasy running back. But the injury is definitely scary. I don't take him early in the first round, but if you're sitting there at around pick 9 or 10 and he's still on your board, I think he's worth a pick.
Yeah. Trent Richardson, last year you already saw injuries with him. A team where there's not anything else going for them, so they're going to be looking for Richardson every game. Really, I mean, first round, there's a big cluster of running backs there that I say are similar tier. It's hard to really see who's going to be the best.
Agreed.
Among those, it's Richardson, Jamal Charles, Alfred Morris, too, another sophomore. Who am I missing?
Well, you got C.J. Spiller.
C.J. Spiller.
You put LeSean McCoy in there.
Yeah.
And I'd put Doug Martin in that same level of guy that I'm kind of uncertain about.
If he falls to you at that point. We're talking maybe late first round in the 10-12 team.
Yeah, if Doug Martin's on the board at the end of the first round, you take him.
Yeah, I mean, so if we're talking Trent Richardson, we might as well talk about all the sophomore running backs. Alfred Morris, Doug Martin, David Wilson.
I don't know about Doug Martin this year. If you look at it, he put up a third of his fantasy points last year within an 8-day span against Oakland and Minnesota, and that scares me a little bit if I own him. I mean, if you take away his two longest runs from each of those games, he finished behind Chris Johnson last year in fantasy yardage, and Johnson's not going until the third round. I think he's way overrated. I think Trent Richardson's got definitely a chance to produce. I mean, he's going to touch the ball well over 300 times this year, and he's just too much of a physical freak, too talented to not put up big numbers if he does get those touches. What do you think of David Wilson?
David Wilson, once he finally got that job, he put up numbers. The job's... I'm surprised how low he's going for a guy who has the job almost completely for himself. And going back to Doug Martin, he kind of has the same thing. There's no contenders really there. So I think Wilson, I say it's high risk, high reward there, but I like the guy.
I'd agree. I'm a little bit scared about Andre Brown and that offense taking some carries away, especially around the goal line. But David Wilson's a good value. If you can pick him up late fourth round, I think you definitely go for him.
Yeah.
One more sophomore running back that I wouldn't sleep on is Isaiah Pede. We already touched on the Rams. That's an improved offense all around, especially with the offensive line. And if he gets significant carries ahead of Daryl Richardson, I think he could put up a 1,000-yard year.
Oh, and yeah, and if you're looking at or listening to this, just like keep your eye out on the Pede-Richardson scenario there. Chances are they'll end up splitting carries in the start of the season, but if one does end up winning the job, that's almost a starting running back that you're going to get late in the draft.
Yeah, I think both of those running backs are talented, and in that offense they could both produce, and neither of them are going until about the 10th or 11th round. That could be a draft steal, no doubt.
Another sophomore running back, I think you forgot to touch on, Alfred Morris. Thoughts on him?
I think he's a little bit overrated. He definitely produced last year, had one of the better rookie running back campaigns we've seen in recent memory. But with Mike Shanahan, I don't feel safe drafting any of his running backs in the first round. If you look at what he's done historically with Mike Anderson and Tatum Bell, he can easily replace guys with other guys and get similar results. And if there's someone else on that roster that emerges, I think you could be looking at trouble with Morris. What do you think?
I think it depends on the health of RG3. I mean, the run option they were able to run benefited Morris.
I completely agree.
I mean, the defenses were confused, and that ended up giving Morris those yards. And then just the success of RG3 will relate to the success of Morris because of those goal line carries. While if RG3 is not playing as he is, then I think it's downhill for Morris.
I'd agree. And I think one thing you touched on RG3, I don't think he's going to be running the ball nearly as much this year. I think that hurts Morris' fantasy value, and it makes Robert Griffin go from one of the elite fantasy quarterbacks last year to maybe a lower-end starter this year.
Well, I mean, had RG3 not torn his ACL at the end of his year last year, he'd be looking first or second round this year. So
absolutely. I think that he'd be right up there with right behind Rodgers and Breeze in that top five quarterbacks. Yeah. He's a gifted quarterback, great arm, but as far as fantasy value goes, I don't see him putting up elite passing numbers, and I don't see him putting up very good running numbers this year either compared to last year.
And as of recording it, all we know is that RG3 will wear a knee brace. We haven't seen him in the preseason, and even then, the preseason won't show us much.
Well,
we need to see how he runs.
I heard from him that he's not playing in the preseason this year.
Well, so, then we won't know till the season. So if you're looking at drafting RG3, it's another high-risk, high-reward. You could either get... You probably won't find the guy that you saw last year, but you could still find maybe a top-five quarterback. But if he's not running, that arm is not good enough, in my opinion, to really get you in the top five, maybe top 10.
I mean, when you look at the elite fantasy quarterbacks, you're looking at Rodgers, Breeze, Manning, Brady, Newton, Kaepernick. I don't believe I'm leaving anyone out there.
I wouldn't put Kaepernick as a lead yet until he's proven a little more.
All right, but if you...
Top five, yeah.
If you miss out on those top five and you don't go with Kaepernick, I think that you're better off going with Matt Ryan than Robert Griffin, no doubt. Would you agree?
Again, it's a risk with Griffin, but yeah, I would do that too. It depends what type of strategy you're going in. If you think you're getting a steal with RG3 in the later rounds, do what you feel comfortable with. And if he falls, you know, you might as well take a gamble on him. But I wouldn't be eyeing him. I wouldn't take him early. Just see how it plays out in your draft.
I'd agree. And what I like about Matt Ryan is you can pencil him in for a solid week just about every time out there. I mean, he's got elite receiving targets. He's in his seventh year. It's finally time to prove himself. And you can pick him up in probably the fifth or sixth round, focus on your running backs and receivers, and still get a great quarterback who will be consistently a contributor to your team.
Yeah. So we're talking about drafting quarterbacks here. What's your thought on drafting tight ends? Scarce subject this year.
When you look at drafting tight ends, Jimmy Graham has had injury issues in the past. Scares me a little bit, but he's far and away the number one guy in this class. After that, you've got Rob Gronkowski, who, if he's healthy, is the best tight end in the league, but health is an issue this year with the back surgery. After that, I like Tony Gonzalez this year, and after that, there's a huge drop-off.
I wouldn't say Witten's a drop-off from Gonzalez.
Witten will be good, but the thing that I look for in tight ends is the ability to score touchdowns, and in the red zone, I think they'll be looking a lot at both Murray and Dez Bryant. That'll make it hard for Witten to contribute consistently, but if you can pick Witten up later in your draft, I think that he is a contributor. I'd put him ahead of everybody else, but well behind Tony Gonzalez.
Yeah, but I just see that Romo love for Witten. What was it, 20-plus receptions 1 week last year for Witten? I mean, you're not going to get that often or ever this season, but even if he's not getting red zone, he's getting targets from Romo. Well, let's talk about that Dallas team. New coach, probably not going to be airing it out as much. Do you like their run game more this year?
I like the run game a lot more this year, actually. If DeMarco Murray stays healthy, I see him as a top 10 to 12 fantasy running back. As far as talent goes, he's right up there. And I think that if he gets the touches and he stays healthy, he'll be a real contributor. Romo's kind of quietly a pretty solid fantasy quarterback, actually. I mean, everybody gives him stuff, but he threw for nearly 5,000 yards last year and did it pretty quietly. The interceptions are what will kill you, but one guy that I really like in that offense is Dez Bryant. I could see him putting up numbers in the 1,500 to 1,600 yards and 10 to 12 touchdowns range this year.
So, Dez Bryant, receiver-wise, A.J. Green caliber, Brandon Marshall caliber?
I'd say Calvin Johnson is, without a doubt, the number one receiver in the league. And after that, I would put A.J. Green, Brandon Marshall, and Dez Bryant all in kind of a cluster behind him that'll probably be off the board in the second round of most fantasy drafts. Of those three, I think I would go with A.J. Green, though.
Yeah, I mean, A.J. gets the reception, he gets the yards. As of now, he does have another knee issue. Doesn't seem like anything serious. But, and new coaches for both... new offensive coordinator, new coach for the Bears, so we'll see if Marshall's reception goes down at all there.
One more point on A.J. Green. One underrated acquisition fantasy-wise this year was the drafting of Tyler Eifert in the first round by Cincinnati. I think that between Gresham and Eifert, they'll have a pretty consistent offense over the middle, which could leave A.J. Green in some single coverage on the outside. I could see a few deep balls going his way this year, or at least a few more than last year.
Yeah. He did have quite a few last year. But let's go back to that Dallas team. Austin, any love for him?
Not really. I think he's been overrated in fantasy league the last few years. He's put up good numbers, but I think that Dez Bryant is emerging as far and away the number one guy in that offense. And that'll hurt Austin, especially because he's got other targets. You know, obviously you said he targets Witten a lot. You got Ogletree in that offense. I could see Austin having some big weeks, but he's not going to be a consistent contributor, which is what you look for in a championship fantasy team.
And Austin just kills me, in my opinion, because he doesn't... He shows signs of being elite, and then he'll have big weeks. But then injuries and no targets and just sloppy play just makes him... Fantasy-wise, just a non-contributor, and I would stay away from him. I've owned him before, and you just never know what you're going to get on a week-to-week basis with him.
I mean, those, like, two-catch, 12-yard weeks, if you put that in your starting lineup, you don't have a very good chance of winning, no matter who you're playing.
Yeah, so I always like consistency on my teams, and also a guy that gets injured as much as Austin, also. Stay away from that. Any other receiving corps that intrigue you this year?
We touched on the Falcons a little bit. I think Julio Jones is a great option this year. I put him, as we're talking about Calvin Johnson as number one, and you have Green, Marshall, and Bryan, and the talk is 2 through 4, I think Julio Jones might be my fifth favorite receiver this year.
Yeah.
He made big progressions between year one and year two, and I'm expecting a big progression between year two and year three.
Yeah. Do you think Roddy Roddy has a progression, or do you think he regresses a little?
I think he might regress a little bit. I mean, there's a lot of love in that offense, a lot of balls to go around. But Roddy White scares me a little bit. And as far as where he's going off the board, we're talking late third, early fourth round. I think that you can find better value there.
Yeah. And, of course, you talked about Gonzalez as a tight end.
Yeah, every year you think that he's going to fall off, and every year he continues to put up consistent numbers in the red zone.
Yeah, yeah, that red zone targets, you know he's going to get that.
One receiving core that really intrigues me is the New England Patriots.
Because receivers.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when you look at Tom Brady distributing the ball, you know there's going to be big years there, but when you look at the list of names beyond Amendola, you don't know who they're going to come from. I expect pretty big things from Danny Amendola, but opposite him, I mean, you've got Jenkins, you have a whole lot of other receivers in that offense, and I think that while they may not be draftable, after week one, you should definitely be checking the waiver wire, see who Brady's leading receivers were, and I could see a couple of receivers that maybe you haven't even heard of having big years in that offense.
Yeah. I mean, when was the last time Brady had a wide receiver besides Welker that had a huge year after Randy Moss, though? Lately, it's just been Welker and Gronkowski, and I mean, now Welker has been replaced by Amendola, another slot receiver, but do you really see another wideout becoming a big factor there?
I mean, Jenkins doesn't really have elite written all over him. I think, I mean, there's really, it's kind of a mess there. I think one guy that you need to look at, since this year is one of the weakest tight end fantasy classes in recent memory, is Jake Ballard. Until Gronkowski comes back, I could see him being a consistent contributor. He hasn't looked great in training camp from what I've seen, but any Tom Brady tight end is going to get a lot of red zone targets and has the potential to put up a few double-digit weeks until Gronkowski comes back.
Yeah, and talking about Gronkowski, if you're in the draft, what do you think about Gronkowski?
It scares me right now. I mean, we're recording this on August 2nd. We don't know a whole lot about his health status. But I think that if he misses significant time, you've wasted a fourth or fifth round pick to get him, and you aren't really getting your return. Tight end-wise, I think that if you aren't going to go for a Jimmy Graham or Tony Gonzalez, you wait it out, go for one of those Jermaine Gresham, Kyle Rudolph guys. But Gronkowski definitely scares me for where he's being drafted.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't seek out Gronkowski. If he falls to me, I might take the risk. But the fact that it's a back and the forearm that's been bothering him lately, it's always a risk. But, you know, if you get a healthy Gronk, that could be the difference in you winning your league or not.
Yeah, I mean, if Gronk's playing week one, I think he's pretty much a consensus top 25 fantasy player.
Yeah. Receiving corps that I was thinking about, when we talked about Brandon Marshall, new offense there, new coach, new tight end too. And the last time we saw Cutler have an elite tight end was Olsen. And, I mean, he liked Olsen, some fancy worth there. Do you think Bennett does good in that role?
I think Bennett's actually great in that role. When you look at that offense that's coming over from the Canadian Football League, it's a lot of underneath, over the middle sort of passes. Bennett never really got the chance to prove himself in Dallas because Jason Witten was blocking him. In New York, he had a pretty good year last year, pretty quietly put up some really solid fantasy numbers, and I think that he could definitely contribute at tight end this year.
I mean, he was inconsistent last year, but I would say that's more Eli than him. I mean, Eli we all know, is one of the more inconsistent fantasy quarterbacks. He'll have some of those monstrous weeks, and then he'll just be nowhere the next week. But, so I think now that Bennett has a good chance, I think that Marshall will get more of the red zone than on some other teams, but I still think Bennett's a red zone threat. So
one guy to look at is, in your leagues late in the draft, would you look at adding Alshon Jeffrey?
I mean, late. He's, because with your last picks, you might as well take guys that have high ceilings to them. So, I mean, why not Alshon Jeffrey? But I still don't see two big receivers emerging from that Bears team. What do you think about him?
I think he's good, has the potential to be good. I'm not drafting him until late in the draft. If you're sitting late in the draft and you have the choice between, let's say, Alshon Jeffrey and Justin Blackmon, even with the suspension, I'd go Blackmon.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you, so I've seen lately in the drafts that a lot of times you'll get to Bennett or Cook, two tight ends we talked about. Who do you like more there?
That's tough. I think If you're looking for consistency, Martellus Bennett is a better pick, but Jared Cook has the potential to put up a really big year. Third-round pick coming out of South Carolina, physical freak. Never really a favorite of Jake Locker in that offense, but if Bradford and him develop a good rapport over the course of the year, you could be looking at double-digit touchdowns and 900 to 1,000 yards.
And even when he wasn't a favorite of Locker, he still put up numbers, so I like Cook better in that situation, too. But, you know, with tight ends this year, if you're not looking at someone else, you might as well draft two tight ends, be safe, see which one emerges, and plug him into that spot. It's a tough spot this year. Besides Jimmy Graham and maybe Gronkowski, it's weak. But, yeah, that's what.
I completely agree. One thing to touch on. If you're looking at AFC South quarterbacks, who do you take in your draft? This is in a backup scenario, but would you rather have Matt Schaub or Andrew Luck on your fantasy team?
As a backup, well, depends who my starter is. If I have a running quarterback, I mean, you could think about getting a backup a little earlier because due to injury.
Historically, you got Michael Vick, Robert Griffin. There's a lot of injuries with running quarterbacks.
Yeah, obviously. And then if you're only getting your backup quarterback for your one bye week for your quarterback, I wouldn't go as high as Luck. I mean, he's still higher up in the drafts. I think he's the number 11 rated quarterback at the moment. While Schaub, you can basically take at the very end of your draft. It's not really costing you much. And I think the difference won't be too much. Luck, I still think, improves. It's a new offense from last year, so I'm not sure how much he improves. But definitely more potential there than Schaub. But if you're just looking for your bye week backup, I say get Schaub late instead of spending an earlier pick on Luck.
I'd agree. And you said that you think Luck is going to improve. I tend to disagree there. If you look at his numbers from last year, he had 7 dropped interceptions. If all 7 of those had been caught, he would have had 30 turnovers last year. On top of that, they didn't do a lot to bolster their receiving core. They had Darius Heyward-Bey, who never really broke out in Oakland. And overall, I don't love Luck this year. I think he's definitely not a starter, and he's a marginal backup in most formats.
Yeah, I mean, he comes off as a guy that he's going to put in the work to improve. He doesn't scream of like a sophomore slump, in my opinion. But at the same time, the turnovers are scary, but that's usually the first thing to improve when looking at like a rookie quarterback.
I'd agree. I'd say of those top 3 rookies from last year between Griffin, Luck, and Russell Wilson, Luck is definitely my least favorite.
Yeah. Would we include... I know Kaepernick's not a rookie, but basically a sophomore coming into this year. He had one more year as a backup. Who do you like? How would you rate those 4 between Wilson, RG3, Kaepernick, and Luck?
I think you got to look at Kaepernick as the number one guy. No injury issues, really. And even without the running numbers, he could put up a 4,000-yard passing year, but the fact that he can run in some touchdowns and get some big runs is just a bonus. Right behind him, I think you got to look at RG3. We touched on his injury issues, his maybe hesitancy to run this year, but even still, I think he could put up a pretty solid passing year. Russell Wilson, I think, might be a bit overhyped, especially with that new Percy Harvin injury, but he's still a great quarterback, and then behind him, I'd put Andrew Luck. You know, one guy that... isn't even really talked about being drafted is Ryan Tannehill in Miami. I think he might have a pretty decent year this year.
There's not enough touchdowns to really intrigue me in drafting him. Clearly athletic. I mean, he's the number of games he's played as a quarterback at the college and NFL level is still below 30, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, a converted wide receiver, lots of potential there. And I like the fact that they added Mike Wallace, Dustin Keller. They're going to have a pretty decent receiving core this year. I could see a pretty significant year statistically from him, especially when you add in his running numbers.
I don't think ever to the point where it's going to be your starter, but maybe your backup.
I'd agree. I'd say take a late-round flyer on him, see how he does, and maybe you might get lucky. He could have a Colin Kaepernick-type of year breakout. Don't look at him, obviously, early in drafts, but he could be a sleeper pick.
The only thing is, if you have Tannehill, you have to keep looking at the new Miami Dolphins logo.
It's beautiful. Just beautiful. Speaking of new logos, I think in Jacksonville there's some interest with Denard Robinson. What do you think of him?
I mean, listed up as an offensive weapon that I don't really know how they're going to use him there. Say he becomes the running back, third down type of guy maybe in front of Maurice Jones-Drew, which I still don't see. Or he becomes a wide receiver, in which case I still don't see him being fantasy worthy. So it's interesting to see what they do with him, but I just don't see many fantasy points coming from him. I don't see him as a guy you'll ever really be using on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah, he could be a big play guy and break out, but one thing that scares me about him is the turnovers. I think one guy that you can look for there as a sleeper is the guy that they drafted ahead of him, Ace Sanders from South Carolina. With Blackman suspended for the first four games, he could become a favorite target of Gabbard or Henny or whoever they may be starting at quarterback there. And I can see him putting up some big numbers.
Still, just no love for those quarterbacks. I'm sorry, Sam. As you might know, Sam is a Jacksonville fan. Cecil Shorts, I think, is draftable. Blackman serving a suspension. After that, he showed the big games when he had Henny as his quarterback, not so much Gabbard. And he's just a sophomore going into this year, so you can see bigger things coming from him. But besides that, I mean, it's Jacksonville. If you want to touch up on maybe what you think of Maurice Jones-Drew coming off of that Les Frank injury.
I think Jones-Drew is appropriately rated, kind of a back-of-the-third-round guy. I mean, if he's healthy and he's getting the carries, he's proven himself to be one of the elite running backs in this league. But that Les Frank injury scares me. On top of that, he's going into his eighth year, which is about the time that running backs start to decline.
Contract year, though.
Yeah, contract year. That should help his stats out, obviously putting the effort in. But unless that passing offense gets going and he's completely healthy, I don't see him as a top 10 or so running back. If you can pick him up in the fourth round, I'd go for it, though.
I mean, nothing too personal, but when I see MJD, he kind of comes off as a guy that is going to play big in contract year. Seems like guys either play much better or not as good during those years. I see him having a good year. I mean, his injury, you hear Les Frank and you know the... Also, that Santonio Holmes had the same last year. But the difference here is Santonio Holmes got Les Frank injury. Or not, it's a surgery or is it an injury?
Injury.
He had to have the surgery immediately. But if you remember with MJD, they thought the first couple of weeks he was questionable. So clearly it wasn't the same severeness. That's why he's already back. Not fully participating in training camp. But compared to Santonio, who's... not doubtful, but questionable for like when he even returns this year. I think the injury isn't as much of a concern. So I like MJD.
Agreed. Especially because there's really not going to be a whole lot of carries taken from him. I mean, you look at the acquisition of Justin Forsett there. He won't be threatening. And unless Robinson can fix the fumble problem, I don't see him as a major threat to carries either. So you could be looking at 300 to 350 touches for someone that's had a whole lot of elite fantasy seasons. But... as you said, with the Les Frank injury, it is a bit of a risk. That's why he's rated where he is, kind of back of the third, start of the fourth round.
Yeah. And I got a question about one of the strategies I like, and that's not drafting players that are going to be on teams that you know will be bad, say like your Cleveland's or Jacksonville's, sorry, Sam, but teams like that, just because... it seems like later in the year, they're more likely to get shut down. They're not going to be in the running when you need them for your championship. Any thoughts?
Well, I think it depends on the position. If you look at quarterbacks, there have been some elite fantasy seasons on not very good teams in the past. I mean, Cam Newton doesn't have the best record as a starter, but he's throwing a lot down late in games. And so even with the sub-500 record career, he's still obviously one of the top fantasy quarterback choices.
I mean, Cam Newton is more of a fantasy quarterback than a real... like NFL quarterback. He's helping your fantasy team, not necessarily winning games for the Panthers.
I'd agree. So quarterback, I don't think it's a big issue, although generally if you have a very good quarterback, you're going to be a winning team. Running back, being on a team that won't have a very good year scares me a little bit because obviously late in games you're going to be throwing more than you run.
So who are the running backs that concern you then? If you're looking at who's the worst teams this
year. Well, I would say Trent Richardson, but word is that he's going to get at least 300 touches this year if he stays healthy, so that doesn't concern me a lot. You might have a little bit of an issue with C.J. Spiller, because even though I think Manuel might be the top rookie quarterback this year, I'm not a huge believer in him being able to lead the Bills to a 9 or 10 win season. But again, those guys have pretty elite talent. I think Doug Martin could be a guy that could suffer from that.
I mean, I say if you're talking about losing teams, Buccaneers are on the side where they actually could be a winning team almost. I'm not saying 10 win, but maybe 8 wins in the contending there at the end. So I don't think it's as much of a scare for Doug Martin.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be bad necessarily, but Josh Freeman scares me a little bit. I don't see them, especially in that division, I don't see them putting together a really great year. And for that reason, Doug Martin could get his carries cut into a little bit.
Yeah. Wide receivers on losing teams?
Honestly, I love receivers on losing teams because they're getting a whole lot of catches. I mean, if you look at the top receivers last year, most of them didn't make the playoffs. You look at Calvin Johnson on a pretty bad Detroit Lions team, set all kinds of records. You look at Dez Bryant on a team that missed the playoffs, got all those targets late. You look at Brandon Marshall on a team that fell off at the end of the year, and he was getting a whole lot of targets. So when you're looking at elite receivers on losing teams, I don't think there's a whole lot of concern there. What's your opinion?
I mean, losing teams go down earlier in games, start throwing the ball more. That's another issue with running backs. It's not just getting shut down, but just losing carries due to being down in games. So that is a concern for running backs, but then can be a plus for receivers, as Sam said, that a lot of the best receivers aren't on the best teams. But that also could be due to the fact that better teams happen to have more receivers, if you look at your Denver Broncos or Falcons.
Yeah, well, the thing about the Broncos and Falcons is they have elite guys. I mean, on a team like the Packers, I honestly don't think any receiver is a safe pick there, because if you look at it, 2 years ago, Greg Jennings had a huge year and he was hyped up. A couple years ago, Jordy Nelson had that big year and he was highly rated. And then last year, looking at Randall Cobb, I could see a fall off from him for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't reach for your Cobb because I don't think he has that much of a big potential compared to your Jordy Nelson or even James Jones. So the fact that he's getting drafted so much earlier doesn't make as much sense.
One stat on Cobb is that he led the league in the number of passes thrown to him that were completed at 77%. And with defenses showing him a little bit more attention, I don't see him getting anywhere near that this year.
Yeah. James Jones, he's going pretty late in drafts. Do you see, obviously not a repeat with how many touchdowns he got, but do you think he's worthy for how late he's being drafted?
I see potential in James Jones. If you can add him as a late addition to your bench, I think that could be good. But as far as week in and week out consistently being a contributor, I really don't see it from him.
Yeah.
I don't see a consistent contributor on that Packers offense beyond Aaron Rodgers. Because you look at the receiver situation, it's all over the place, and the running back situation as well. They got two highly touted rookies, Eddie Lacy from Alabama, Jonathan Franklin from UCLA, and I don't love either one as a starting running back just because we have no idea how they're going to distribute the carries this year.
One interesting fact that I saw was that Lacy, during his time in Alabama, averaged over 2 yards more per carry than Richardson. Obviously, Richardson had a big season last year. We know Green Bay is not going to run the ball as much. He won't be producing what Richardson did last year. But I still think late in the draft, you're getting a starting running back. Lacy has skill potential. And I think he'll get goal line carries with a good Packers team. So
I could see it. I think Eddie Lacy would be a very good fantasy option, if not for them drafting Franklin one round later. I like Franklin. And if you're looking at running backs in that sort of late sixth, early seventh round, I like Lamar Miller a lot more than Eddie Lacy.
How about Le'Veon Bell, also around there?
I like Le'Veon Bell more also. It's not a sure thing that he's going to be a consistent starter for them, but just looking at early training camp and as far as their overall pedigree, I like him more than Jonathan Dwyer. I think Bell, as you saw at Michigan State when he played, he can take 30 to 35 carries on a week-in, week-out basis, which gives him the potential to be a consistent contributor.
Also, another running back that you'll, if you've been doing your drafts or mock drafts, you'll see the same place as your Lacy's and your Bell's is Ryan Matthews. Unlike those guys, he has a more year experience, but what he shows is that he is injury prone and good when he's good. Any thoughts on Matthews drafting him?
I don't love Ryan Matthews, honestly. That offense is a little bit scary. I mean, Phillip Rivers turns the ball over a lot. I'm not a huge Matthews fan, but he is a starting running back. But you look at that acquisition of Danny Woodhead, I think he could be taking some carries away. I actually really like Woodhead this year. What's your opinion on him?
Well, Matthews is somewhat your big play when he's in the open. He catches the ball. He's not necessarily a power runner, and that is also a similar game to Woodhead. Woodhead is a receiving running back. He's not going to run through the middle very much. So I think what he gives or brings to the table isn't a whole lot different than Matthews. More of a receiving running back than Matthews. But really, I think it would have benefited more to see another touchdown type running back, the goal line carry guy, to show up there in Chargers. But I don't think Woodhead does too much there.
Yeah, well, and when you're talking about the Chargers' fantasy prospects, one guy that I really think is being underrated this year is Vincent Brown. You look at what Denario Alexander did last year. He was a very good fantasy receiver the second half. But I think Vincent Brown could be a guy that could come in and make a big difference. Would you agree?
I think so. I'm not sure how many receivers there can shine. I mean, because there is still Denarius Alexander there, or Denario Alexander. So he's going to he won't be as good as he was in the second half last season, just because I think he got somewhat lucky with some of the receptions he was getting there from Rivers. Still, he's going late in the drafts, very viable bench player, backup receiver. I'm not sure if I just love any of those Chargers receivers, though.
Yeah, with Philip Rivers, that offense could do anything on a week-to-week basis. He'll throw for 200 yards sometimes and throw for 400 yards sometimes. And I don't really love any Chargers player as far as fantasy goes.
Yeah, Tony O. Gates?
I think Gates, I don't know about him. I think he is definitely on the decline of his career. Historically, he's had a whole lot of injury issues, and I think that when you're looking at running back, or excuse me, tight ends, there's a lot of guys that I would take ahead of him, but just based on potential.
Yeah, Antonio Gates, big name, might be why he pops up earlier in your drafts, but he's in front of your Cooks and your Bennetts, but I would pick a Cook or Bennett in front of him.
Absolutely. I think both Cook and Bennett have the chance to put up a big year with kind of new offenses, Cook making the transition to St. Louis and Bennett with that new West Coast offense in Chicago. And I don't see Antonio Gates going anywhere near where he has in the past. I think best case for him is maybe 600 yards, not a consistent fantasy contributor.
Yeah. Any other tight ends around the league that interest you?
I think both Gresham and Eifert out in Cincinnati could definitely do some damage. I mean, as we've touched on before, this is almost a historically weak year as far as tight ends go. Greg Olsen is a guy that could make a difference down there in Carolina.
Yeah, Olsen, good season last year. Nothing that indicates he won't have a similar year. And then Kyle Rudolph, good season last year. I think there's only improvement on his part, especially I think Ponder might be looking his way a little more. Now that it's Jennings instead of Harvin. But he's also, I believe, the sixth-rated tight end, and he's being drafted usually higher in most mocks that I've seen.
Yeah, I think when you look at the tight end position this year, unless you go for one of those elite Jimmy Graham or healthy Rob Gronkowski type of guys, or I'd put Tony Gonzalez in that group also, but you aren't going to necessarily get a whole lot of yardage. I mean, most tight ends will have weeks of 50 or less yards, so you're looking at guys that can score touchdowns on a rather consistent basis. And I think that Kyle Rudolph kind of fits the bill there. I mean, he gets a lot of red zone targets this year with Cordarrelle Patterson in that offense. And, of course, Adrian Peterson. They're going to be a potent red zone offense, and I could see him getting a lot more touches and a significant amount of touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, a playoff team, so clearly lots of red zone targets and red zone attempts. Ponder, I mean, it's Christian Ponder, lower-end NFL quarterback. But he has shown that he likes Rudolph, likes looking his way, especially in the red zone.
Especially with the transition receivers. I mean, his top two receivers this year weren't on the team last year, if you look at Greg Jennings and Cordarrelle Patterson. And he's already got the chemistry with Rudolph, so I could see a big year from him.
You're not looking for Aroma Shadoo?
Not so much. Not a lot of love for Devin Aroma Shadoo.
Surprising. that just about wraps up this week's podcast.
Good luck in your drafts. We'll be updating again shortly as the rankings change, training camp progresses, and the preseason gets started. If you have your fantasy draft between now and the next time that you hear from us, good luck, and remember what you've heard. If you have any questions that pertain to fantasy football, tweet me at 7samsmith7. We'll go through those tweets, pick some of the top questions, and address them in the next edition of Fantasy Prowler. Thank you very much.